Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking about the financial world for women with Maggie Nielsen. She is a partner with Purse Strings, and it's all about helping women be financially fearless. We're going to talk about why women may be behind financially. We're going to talk about how women are talked to differently about money, how to have healthy money talks, and how women can be more financially involved in a marriage, how they can make sure they're financially involved and the importance of that. There are a lot of great questions, and thank you to Maggie for coming on this episode and being willing to share her insights. This topic was really interesting to me, and I really wanted to talk about this one more. So I think you're going to be able to take a lot of great takeaways from this one as we have a conversation around money and how women are talked to about money. It's really fun conversation ahead. But the money talking points for today's episode are, what are some ways that you think women are talked to differently about money than men? And two, how can we make sure that all money talks are fair and available to everyone? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. But that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's interview with Maggie Nielsen. We are talking all things money when it comes to the financial world for women. We have some great questions lined up, but Maggie, would you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Hey there. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here today. My name is Maggie Nielsen. I'm a partner at Purse Strings. I received my MBA from Loyola, and I'm always about helping women be financially fearless.
Awesome. Yeah, we got introduced online, like just through one of the guest services, and I read your profile about this approach you take towards helping women in finance and maybe some of the different things that women have to go through and handle, maybe strictly because they're women or however the system is set up. But I'm really interested to learn more about this and learn more what you have to say and teach me on this topic. But really, we're just going to dive right into the first question of why are women behind financially?
Yeah, for multiple reasons. One of them is we still get underpaid. We stare at dollar for dollar for white men. And we also have to typically over-educate ourselves to get underpaid. And so that's more college debt. But we also take a lot of time out of the workforce to take care of parents and to take care of kids. And that typically falls on the oldest daughter. But it usually under that just falls on the women in the household. And for, you know, taking time out of the workforce, losing 401k, retirement planning and different things like that, it just pushes you behind financially. And then a little icing on the cake is we still have a pink tax. And so even a pink razor is more expensive than a blue razor, even though women's shampoo is more expensive than a man's shampoo. So every time you then spend, it also costs more to be a woman.
That's fascinating. So it really just seems like there's just enough things right around the edges, I guess, or some of the things right in the middle, like you said about getting paid less and getting educated more. But then there's also the things around the edge that just like drive the nail in the coffin, so to speak.
That's
interesting.
True compounding effect.
That's crazy because we always think of compounding as a good thing, but in this case, it's definitely not.
No, not at all.
Yeah. What are some ways that women are talked to about money that's differently than men?
Yeah. Sometimes it starts when we're really young of telling us that we're not good with money or that we're not good with math for women. And then, you know, sometimes you just see the messages in the household of like the wife always giving the money to their husband, you know, not really having control over it. But then as you kind of get older, we're always told that we're big spenders. We need a budget. We need a coupon. And I'm all for a budget, but it's like that we're overspending and we're buying bags and shoes and all these things. Where if you read all these articles, it's always men who are really told to invest. And we also get told that we're risk averse. We're not. We just want to get a little bit more information, and we are happy with some risk because we know the reward. We just want to dive into more of the logistics behind it. So there's a couple different conversations going on where it's just not as empowering, I would say, for women. And then we're not usually, you know, invited to the conversation with our financial professionals. Even in the pictures, it's usually just two men meeting together and coming home and just relaying the information, which is a really important conversation to have, especially because women will typically outlive their male spouse as well.
Yeah, those are all really interesting. And as soon as you bring them up, I can see it in my mind of how we're always saying, like, there's always, even on like talk shows or anything like that, it's the man calling in to say, hey, I don't feel like we're investing enough. My wife is the spender, I'm the saver. And maybe in that moment, they don't realize maybe some of the long-term effects of a comment like that. But what you mentioned, I think, could have lasting impact if we're just telling women they're the spenders all the time.
And they might be spending more than you, but they're probably buying clothes for the kids and clothes for their parents and food for the house because they're getting all those things done. So it's not just like they're, you know, buying Louis Vuitton bags up the wazoo and like living this lavish lifestyle. They're just making sure everyone has their needs covered. And that's usually what they're spending it on.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Because if the mom in maybe a traditional sense is staying at home, they're, of course, they're spending more money. They're taking care of the household. They're the one who knows what groceries need to be bought, what chores need to be done and paid for, or things like that. So if the label of spender falls on the person just for taking care of the household, that's really not fair, would you say?
I would definitely agree. I mean, of course, they're going to be spending more. They're getting the jobs done of making sure everyone's dressed and clothed and prepared for the day.
Yeah, that's wow. We're only two questions in and my mind's already just full of new ideas. So thank you. But number three here is, how can we make sure everyone is having healthy money talks when it comes to either in marriages or just in general? Like if you're talking to a woman out on, I guess, the street or in classes or things like that, how do we make sure we're approaching a healthy conversation around money?
Yeah, it's definitely hard. It takes some practice because we really want to remove the shame and the guilt that's typically about these conversations or around these conversations. And a lot of like, I should be doing this. I should have done that. Like, I should be doing this better. Because it's typically not something that we talked about. It was always rude to talk about money. We really try to go into these conversations shame-free and really understand that people spend with their values. And so you just kind of see what's important to them. And just to make sure they're consistently in the conversation, again, like with a financial professional, make sure you're there, make sure you're part of that conversation. Because again, those decisions really affect you for the long run.
Make sure you're there. I think that's a big takeaway for the whole thing, is making sure you're actually involved in the conversations. That's maybe a thought that came to my mind, is if you're in a marriage and let's say it's not a bad marriage or anything like that, but just naturally the husband has taken more of the money role and maybe you're okay with that. You don't like money as much or something like that. I don't want to assume too much here, but if the husband has taken the majority of the money role, how can the wife or a woman find themselves and get themselves more involved?
Yeah, they've got to know what's going on. Even though it might not be like the most fun thing happening, they've got to know what's going on. Just because, what if he got into a car accident and all of a sudden became disabled? Or women typically do live longer than their male spouse. Chances are, the average age of a widow is 59. It's nothing extreme here, which is scary and sad. But these are just conversations we need to know about, because we don't want to risk our retirement and become a big fear women have is becoming that bag lady, working in the grocery stores when you're 85, bagging groceries because you didn't plan enough or you weren't in the plan and something went wrong.
Yeah. When I read on your bio about the story of that most people like at a grocery store are elderly women working there, that really it clicked in my mind. I was like, oh yeah, that is the case. So it's really interesting to hear that do you think that's because they weren't involved? So then their money wasn't able to last them. It was just really lasting their husband's lifetime. Or what do you think on that?
I think part of it is that. I think part of it is they took a lot of time out of the workforce to take care of others and so weren't able to financially prepare for themselves. And a lot of women, you know, if they go through a great divorce and they don't get the right resources from the beginning, that doesn't end well either. And so it's a lot of trying to make up that time, which is just hard to see because, you know, these people have been taking care of loved ones. You know, they haven't just been sitting around. They've been really taking care of others as we do as humans. And so it's that hard thing. But, you know, bills still need to be paid. You still want a roof over your head. But that's not really the ideal way people want to go into retirement.
Absolutely. Could you define what a gray divorce is real quick for everybody?
Yeah. So the gray divorce is a divorce over 50, typically with people who have gray hair. And that is actually three times more prevalent than any other divorce right now. And so we're seeing a huge spike and want to make sure everyone has the right resources going into that conversation because those have long-term effects.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a fun situation regardless, but especially if you come out the other side with no financial knowledge, no financial assets and things like that, just because of a unfortunate situation you were put in because you were taking care of everybody else.
Definitely.
That can be really hard. Well, let's turn our attention towards single women and how can they make sure they're in a good financial position if they're the only person responsible for making the money and everything like that? How do they find themselves in a good place?
Yeah. We always say, you know where your money is going, where your money is coming in, where your money's going out, you know, budget, whatever that looks like. Then it's always having those foundations of your emergency fund, paying down that, you know, high interest debt. And then it's really at that point kind of planning for you and what your dreams and goals are. And so from there, I kind of ask, you know, what would be ideal for you? Do you want to be a homeowner? Do you want to travel? Do you want to start a business? Because some people say, you know, I would love to be a homeowner, and some people would not want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So don't let people tell you what your goals are. But once you figure out what you want to do, meet with a professional to start understanding how you can really accomplish those long-term goals and accomplish your even longer-term goals of retirement and whatever that looks like, because that's something you always want to be funding as well.
You said it's important for them to figure out their goals on their own. Is that something that maybe commonly women are told what their goals should be? Is that something that happens?
I think just the majority of society doesn't really take a step back and think about what they want to do. They just kind of do what they're told to do, which is kind of, you know, go to school, then you finish, you get married, you buy a house, you know, you do these things in an operational order. But some people really never want to own a home. They want to travel and live in Airbnbs their whole life. And I think we have to realize like those goals are both, not one is defined more successful than the other, but it's just what brings you joy and what makes you happy. And there's definitely people to help sit down and discuss those goals with you. But I think it's just important to figure out kind of what you want and don't just end up doing what people tell you, you know, define success or what you should do now with their money, because that's the best investment.
Awesome. So yeah, that sounds very like generally applicable. You need to make sure you have your goals in place. You need to not just follow some predefined system. And I always think if those goals can get started earlier and earlier, the better, because then you have more time to, like, if you want to travel a lot when you're 50, you got more time to let that money that you're trying to invest for that long-term goal get set up. So I'd say start, if you're 18 and listening to this, you're in the perfect time period to really start setting those goals.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you got to know that those goals might always change as well, and you have to be okay with that. And so, you know, let yourself have that flexibility as well. That money can just transfer to a different goal. Just kind of have your eye on the prize that you want at that time.
Fantastic. What are your thoughts then around using money as a tool? I think that's something that's becoming more prevalent lately about money isn't the end goal. Money is something that helps you accomplish your other goals. And I think that applies a lot when it comes to what we're talking about with goal setting right now.
Yeah, I definitely think money is just a tool. It's just going to help you get from point A to point B. It's not the cure to anything. It's not the magic wand, but it is just a tool to help you get there. It's an important tool, but it's a way that you can really protect yourself. And I think thinking about it as a tool brings out less emotion behind it. You just remember that it's like just a vehicle to help you get there.
Yeah, I like the idea of less emotion behind our money, because that's really what we need. We need to make sure that we're focused on the emotions that we're going to feel when we're having a great time on our trip or having a great time with our family because we just bought a home and those sort of things. And that's the stuff that money allows us to accomplish. But turning back towards thinking about money in a marriage, how can women make sure they're financially involved in a marriage?
Yeah, definitely. It's always like we were talking before, you know, the women might do all the shopping for the family, but the man might just go to the financial professional. And these are two, like, somebody's looking at the short-term picture and somebody's looking at the long-term picture. And we really want to bring those together for sure. And so it's being active in these conversations and making sure you're really prepared, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent, that your retirement is still being funded, that you have your life insurance and all your protections in place as well. And then always staying part of the conversation, you know, meeting with that financial professional, asking any questions that you have. And if you're starting to get like poo-pooed and being told, you know, don't worry about it or you don't need to know about it, have some red flags go up, because it's if your partner's telling you that or a professional's telling you that, that's a warning sign to me. That's kind of almost that you're hiding something. So if you start getting told that it's none of your business, start making that your business.
Yeah, especially if that's coming from a financial professional. I think if that's coming, would you say it's a good idea to have a conversation with your spouse then about finding someone else?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, if they're not answering your questions or telling you, you know, don't worry, darling, I would 100% get a new professional. But I've also seen many spouses who say, you know, you don't need to know about these things. And that would be a red flag for me as well.
Yeah, that I'm sure would be very difficult if you're like, I want to be more involved in the money. And then your husband or partner shoots you down on that. That's a huge red flag in my mind, too.
And I think for people who, let's say, have typically been out of the conversation and are hearing this and want to start jumping in, open that conversation with more curiosity and tell them, you know, I just want to be prepared in case anything happens. I'm not coming in out of judgment. I'm not coming out of accusation. Because some people are like, you know, you've been on the sidelines the whole time. Why are you jumping in now? Like, are you assuming I did something wrong? Are you assuming I'm, you know, stealing money from us? Which is not the case. You just want to be more prepared. And so come in with that genuine curiosity and kind of lead that versus coming in with, you know, judgment and accusation.
So maybe what if the wife had found a bunch of podcasts or something and started learning about money on their own a little bit? Do you think that first conversation, do you maybe steer clear of coming in with your advice and maybe the things you think you should do right out the gate to maybe ease into the conversation, even though you think there's some better ways the couple could be handling their money?
I could see coming in with some different options. I think you have to see what's really going on to get started. So, you know, say I've been listening to some podcasts and they really recommend that a stay-at-home mom should have a spousal IRA. Like, how can we get one of those started? Have anyone ever brought that up to you? Like, when you've talked about finances, do you know what that is? You know, just start these conversations out of curiosity.
Awesome. I love the out of curiosity thing, because I think that helps both sides. And I'm sure maybe there are situations where the husband is doing it on purpose and they feel like that's the way that the money is supposed to be ran in a household. But there could also be, like you said, there's some conversations that are just accidentally happening on the edges where women are feeling like less than when it comes to handling money. So maybe the husband just didn't think any better. And I think the curiosity helps get those conversations going in a good manner.
I've also heard some husbands who felt like that was their role because they saw their dad do that, but they also felt like it was a lot of pressure on them. So when the female came into the conversation or their partner came into the conversation, they were kind of like, whew, I'm glad you want to be here. I'm glad you're going to help me with this because this is no small feat. And I'm glad we get to work on this together. And it's a bit of relief on their side as well.
Yeah, it's all about communication in that area is what I'm hearing so far. So make sure if you're listening to this, go out and have a conversation about money with your spouse. Go out and have a conversation with some friends. Get those money talks going. But Maggie, why are you so passionate about helping women in this space?
It's because I've seen around and I've done so much data research about how women have been so left behind. And I've been to Target and I've been to Costco and I've seen these women of retirement age on Sunday mornings bagging my groceries and handing out snacks. And I know that's just not right because they have done so much for society. So I just want to make sure everyone kind of has that equal playing field and has the knowledge and resources at their fingertips that they could really turn to.
Yeah, making sure there's knowledge and resources. I love that. How can people, if they are trying to start that curious conversation, or maybe they're wondering how they can get more involved in the finances, how can people reach out to you, or what's your website and all that fun stuff?
Yep. It's pursestrings.co. We're also just pursestrings.co on all social media. Or they could just reach out to me, Maggie at pursestrings.co.
Fantastic. Awesome, Maggie. This has been a really fun conversation. I've had a great time talking about this. I knew I'd learn a lot, and I really did. So I'm sure everyone else listening did as well. But thank you so much for coming on today's episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate sharing this message.
Thank you so much to Maggie for that insightful conversation. Let's have a quick discussion about the money talking points. First, what are some ways that you think women are talked to differently about money than men? Some of the great ones that I took away from that interview with Maggie is that women are often talked to about spending money, not investing money. And then they're also talked really just in different ways that once you hear it, it clicks a little bit. But that spending versus investing one is really eye-opening for me, because it's very often that we say, hey, you should spend less to women, or you need to spend less money. And we're always talking with men, or for me, it's with all my friends. What are you guys investing in? What kind of stocks are you investing in? It's not, hey guys, you need to make sure you're spending less money. That's just not a conversation we're having. So this was a really insightful thing that Maggie brought up in today's interview. And the other one was how women are often talked to about risk when it comes to investing. Maggie said that most women are seen as risk averse, when that's not really the case. They're okay with risk, but they just need maybe a little bit more information and a little bit more research to be comfortable with going for it. That was really insightful for me as well. The second money talking point is, how can we make sure that all money talks are fair and available to everyone? Really make sure you're saying something to a person, not because of their gender or anything like that, and you're not assuming why they would need that information. Don't assume that they need to hear something about spending or budgeting because you think they're spending too much. Don't assume they don't need to hear about investing because, well, you've never had a investing conversation with your female friends or your stay-at-home mom group or something like that. Like those are things that need to be happening all over the place. So make sure you're always having the same money talking points with everybody, and that they're always fair and open to everybody to be able to participate and learn and understand why we feel the way we do about money. It's really a great, great interview. So thank you again, Maggie, for coming on today's episode. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I really appreciate it. Like I said in the intro and multiple times throughout this podcast, this has been really insightful for me. And I hope you were able to take something away from this episode that's new and helped you open up your mind to how we can have healthy and accessible money talks. But please share this episode with a friend and then go have a money talk about it, and have a money talk about how maybe women are talked to differently about money than men. I think it's going to be a really insightful conversation for everyone to have. It'll be really interesting, the conversations that come out of it, I'm sure of that. So please, if you have any questions or feedback or thoughts, share them with me. Of course, all my information is in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.